And I've been saying from the beginning, if you really have studied this for 20 years or 50 years, there is a process of governments and international organizations infringing on our inalienable rights and freedoms, including things like freedom of speech, bodily integrity, and freedom to travel. It's almost like we're living in the Truman Show for the last 20, 30 years. And that a lot of the people maybe have a lot of faith in politicians, the media, the education and the university system, and the agents of authority and the state and the healthcare system. So that just that these people are actually believe what is been told to them. So essentially we have manipulation and untruths and lies and potentially criminal, unlawful and unethical behavior going on wholesale. And the very minute that you stop worrying, which is really a waste of energy, and you stop being fearful, you then become empowered. And then no matter what anyone tries to force you to do, you actually get the courage to say no.
If you have not been looking at C60 as a means to significantly improve your health and your immunities, you should be. Here's why. First, a strong and healthy immune system is your body's first defense. And for those with a strong immune system, your body will adequately fight illnesses without medical intervention. Second, C60 is safe. As long as you're taking a high quality C60 with no added fillers or solvents. Third, C60 is the best means of removing free radicals from your body that exist. It's at least 200 times better at this function than vitamin C and any other antioxidant. This is the magic. When you free up your body's resources from fighting free radicals, they then can focus their attention on healing. Every person has different needs, but the magic begins when your body can start to heal. So now it becomes clear, you need the best free radical fighter that exists, and that is C60 with flaxseed oil and curcumin. Go to sarahwessel.com/shop and learn more about why this formula is so powerful. Also available by diffuser with ultra refined C60 oil to safely get directly into your lungs. It's also the best way to help your family pets by just being in the same room. Be sure to read the research and, of course, use the current coupons to save money when you buy. Patrons also receive a 10% discount. You can find that code at patreon.com/sarahwessel. Remember, keeping you and your family safe is the most important thing you can do.
And the antibodies were wrong, right? And I mean, I've been involved in initiatives in trying to correct the record. And also saying to funding agencies for 20 years that like a huge percentage, maybe 20% of the funding should be going to verify the accuracy of results. And so if that was there, like in the models from Imperial, for example, that it was known that for, you know, 20 years, the models have been consistently wrong. So that, you know, whereas we had like Nobel Prize winner Michael Levitt using real data in January 2020, correctly and accurately, you know, months ahead, always using real data, been correct. And so, you know, the Imperial College model that is shown to be entirely wrong would then have a weighting for which one is actually more rigorous, you know, and which one has shown to be wrong. And we would not be, the world would not be in the state that it's in. But because of my having resistance in doing that, I then looked into how governments work and how international organizations. And I was making suggestions, you know, as a very young 20, 30 year old to do things better. I got onto the EU as an expert very early on. And from 2004 to 2014, I was honored to be on the Government Advisory Science Council. And then I also worked in the European Commission in the unit for the global coordination of the world. And I was responsible for health globally and interactions between the EU and Asia, China, South Korea. And the reason is there's not that many people that have the skill set to actually look at the world, you know. So I was looking at, in combination, banking, IT, health, education, how government, right? But also I'm quite good at it and I'm very solution focused. So whenever I was on advisory boards, I would generally say, I don't just want to write about the problem. I want to be involved in an implementation plan trying to fix it. So ways to fix things like now is simply to have a biorepository. So you could have it that one you know, 1 in 1,000 PCR tests is required by law to be sent to a biorepository, 1 in 1,000 of the vials or 1 in 100 of the vials, so that if there are adverse events, you know, that we can actually follow them on over 10 or 20 years. And if there was a biorepository, we would not have the issue with the modeling. And also, the World Health Organization would not have been able to call the lockdown in the first place, because we would have been able to look at the PCR tests. You know, they would be in a repository for January, February, March. And so we would not do it. So it's actually, so, you know, the thing like Freedom Airways, right? Identifying a worldwide media channel. So I am involved in setting up a media company now, happens.network. And that company is behind the new normal. And that has been worked on by a team of people in the United Kingdom. I don't want to claim credit for it. But a media company is how to get out of this. Everybody to stand for their local elections. There's huge weaknesses in the political systems across the world. And, you know, with the combination of the truth, the media systems, and then I'm, and like new innovative businesses like the Freedom Airways. And obviously, I'm happy to be supporting alternative banking mechanisms as well, which will be needed to support the new innovative economies. And I'm leading the very honored, this PCR sequencing consortium. And that is, we're just starting that, and that will be in America looking for funding. And it's called hashtag Testgate, you know, like Watergate, it's Testgate. And it's really about forensic sequencing of these PCR tests, because if they're not SARS-CoV-2, there's no lawful basis for the lockdown. And just to say, every single country can do this themselves. There are, you know, anyone listening, you can set up initiatives to sequence the PCR tests, and anyone who's in quarantine, you know, if those facilities were available, they can say to the government, I'm going to sequence a test myself. And the cost, you know, if you lose thousands in income because you are imprisoned in a hotel and it's criminal behavior on behalf of the government, you can potentially sue the ministers and the prime ministers and the people who unlawfully detain you by saying, the PCR test is not SARS-CoV-2. This is unlawful criminal behavior. And then sue the actual person, the police person that puts you in that hotel for 2 weeks loss of income and any stress caused.
Well, during the Nuremberg trials, the soldiers and the people that followed orders were still just as guilty as the leadership. That's what they found. But, you know, there was a woman going into Canada with her two children and had a test that was 2 hours expired, and they nailed her for it and charged her $18,000 and put her in quarantine. I mean, it's just absolutely crazy. But you, this, what you're talking about is great. I am worried that with science, you know, I'm an engineering background. I'm more mathematical, and I look at science, and to me, there's no reason why it has to be so wishy-washy. You know, I come at it from a system standpoint. I look at all aspects. I tend to look things globally too as well. But I'm always confused as to why in science it's so gray and people can't, you know, exactly what you're talking about, and why this is also screwed up. I get frustrated by it. But I do believe it's intentional at maybe at the top. But the question, the pushback I get from people, other smart people that I'll talk to, will say that, Sarah, you can't underestimate the incompetence. People are incompetent. They just don't understand it. They're just not. What do you say to that?
No, I don't think that's true at all, because there has been many people, you know, my generation, right? I've been around for, you know, professionally 30 years or so more. No, it's been, we have, there's a, you know, people of my generation, you know, people from about 40 up have been fighting against the takedown really of health and science and education. And, you know, you can see the people ahead of us that were fighting were either bullied or coerced or were intimidated or just retired early, right? So, and now we have maybe one or two generations in the university sector and in education where in a lot of fields, the entirely wrong information is been given to one or two generations of students and doctors and nurses, you know, and journalists and the law. So that, you know, in some cases, the people that are maybe teachers or doctors or nurses and scientists are educated, but a lot of what they've been told is not true. And maybe just to say, when to go back about science, when I did science, you had to have, it's very easy, you had to have a positive control or a series of them. You had to have negative controls. And you had to look at the error, you know? So let's say if the error in something is three times whatever you're measuring, then if the, then it's actually within the margin of error and your results are meaningless. And so what's happening is actually undermining the health, you know, people's trust in the health system and in the scientific system. So partly what I'm doing it, and, you know, I'm doing it is to restore people's faith in science and in health. And, you know, if we don't do it, it's going to be done at some stage. And if we don't really push back hard now, it will be much harder to push back in 5 or 10 years the way this machine is working.
Each year it's harder.
But sadly, the generation or two after us are not as well, the education that they've got, a lot of the fundamental principles are not true. So, and that is a deliberate change in education. And it means that when they come into the world, they can't actually solve problems because they actually don't have the correct fundamental principles. And also psychologically, if you're told the exact opposite to what's true, it's very hard for people to actually take that on board. And so, for example, who knew we needed oxygen? And that masks would reduce your oxygen and would actually depress your immune system and would make you sick, you know? So the way the manipulation works is they tell you something that's the exact opposite. And for people who believe, you know, what they're told, it's really difficult for them to do 180 degrees. And like, you know, the way oxygen is required for humans to live, and if you lower it for children and everybody, you increase their cognitive function, you give them, you know, they'll get immune-related issues and they'll be exhausted, chronic fatigue. But plants need carbon dioxide, right? And carbon dioxide is good. And when we had 20 times higher carbon dioxide, we had snowball Earth, right? So the whole underpinning of carbon dioxide and the Agenda 21 re-engineering of society by linking carbon dioxide to climate change, global warming is entirely incorrect. We actually need more carbon dioxide, right? We need more. We need we're almost historically at the lowest one. And of course, when you see the manipulation of our societies around, you know, these electric cars are actually, you know, causing huge deaths in Africa, you know, and are, you know, taking resources of minerals and children are being used in these mines. It's, you know, it's really the first world really, you know, doing horrible things in the other areas of the world under the guise of this, you know, green agenda as if it's all beautiful. It's the exact opposite. So we need oxygen. We need more carbon dioxide. In fact, in the future, they will be burning carbon dioxide because we're at the lowest. And if you want to prevent extinction of plants, you actually need more carbon dioxide. But it's only, you know, when you say, when you see, and the whole thing about banking as well, you know, the banking system, innovations, job creation, it's entirely wrong. The law, the system of law, which is why people are, and the police are not aware about inalienable rights, is not actually taught in the law schools for a couple of generations, really, you know, almost beautifully, right? So that nobody is aware of the rule of law, the fundamental law, right? That people have inalienable rights. And therefore, this is how they can manipulate people. So I'm so glad, you know, when you look at the agenda from 1992 to 2099, which is the United Nations is the main source of the documentation. You know, the United Nations Agenda 21 is really published in Rio in 1992, and it's the agenda for the 21st century. So it's to 2099, you know, 2100, and then you have Agenda 20, 30, 40, 50, 60. So what's happening now should have actually been happening 10 or 20 years in the future. And if, you know, obviously because people are waking up to it, they had to bring it forward. But if it happened in 20 years, we wouldn't actually be alive, you know, and we'd have two or three generations that wouldn't really be able to push back, wouldn't really know what's going on, and they would.
So we're lucky.
Yeah, we are very lucky. And that's why I've been thinking about how to do it for 20 years. So the World Freedom Alliance is like a new United Nations. I'm working on a new health regulatory body, because it's entirely wrong that presidents of regulatory bodies around the world are striking off doctors, the very doctors that are saving lives, and the heads of these regulatory bodies are actually causing death, right?
I know.
So, of course, we can hold those individual people to account. Freedom Airways is a solution, and we need solutions just to tell people about the rule of law. And I'm very honored to be in touch with people who are standing up for, you know, natural law, what's called the rule of law and equity. And, you know, we are actually, I'm supporting police that will actually uphold the rule of law. And so when we have, you know, constitutional or constitutional law and equity courts, that what is going on with prime ministers and ministers is criminal and unlawful behavior causing death, they are preventing Nobel Prize winning prevention and treatments from being given to the elderly. They are not informing people that they are engaging in a phase three clinical trial, which is unlawful for everybody and unethical.
It's not even phase three.
It's right? A phase three clinical trial.
I would think we're not even in phase three for the vaccine that they claim, the mRNA vaccine. That's not even phase three, is it? I mean, they didn't do any of the animal trials.
Phase two is generally the animal studies, you know?
Yeah.
So by definition, maybe phase three, but they can't just inject people. They should actually go through the whole clinical trial. It could be 50 pages.
That's what I mean. It's not even, it's a bastardized phase three. But anyways, go ahead.
Well, it's a clinical trial, right? So what is totally unlawful and criminal behavior, right, is that they're not going along to each person and giving them the 20 pages of the clinical trial, sitting down and saying there's more than 20 adverse events or whatever, and getting them to sign to enroll in the clinical trial and to then take all the adverse events and report them, right?
You know, you might die by taking this vaccine, and I need to educate you that you might die by taking this vaccine, but if you take vitamin D or if you take another treatment that is a treatment, you have a lower risk. Just getting COVID and taking a proper treatment is lower risk than this vaccine. So, and you might die taking the vaccine or have all these other side events, but we won't tell you that.
Yeah, and I suppose it's really not about SARS-CoV-2. That's what I'm saying. You know what I mean?
I agree.
Right? That it's about coercing people and trying to coerce them to do things so that we have generations of people that don't realize. They just go, no, I have an inalienable right. You can't force me to take a test.
Just blindly.
You can't force me to give you my health information. And I'm not going to take a vaccine. And if you do, you're engaging in criminal behavior. So, but I suppose what's important is that there are initiatives now around the world that are, we are training, you know, I'm supporting people, training police.
Excellent.
And that really, I'm very happy. I just decided to maybe happy to say this. I did another interview today, but really where we're moving into is the accountability phase, so that in the world, people have really been responding. So now this is now Dolores Cahill, not on behalf of any organizations, because I haven't proposed it yet. But really what we have to do is to hold these individual people to account, and that you can hold without going to court and police individual doctors or hotel owners or care home people or people who inject. You don't have to go to court. We say Dolores Cahill can actually write to the care home owner or the person who injects me or a doctor that, you know, says a PCR test is positive but doesn't sequence it. You just ask them for their medical registration number and their medical indemnity number, and they are committing multiple crimes, right? They're diagnosing disease without properly sequencing them. They're often, you know, putting COVID-19 on the death certs, which is misrepresentation and fraud, but they've treated them for terminal cancer. It's entirely medical negligence, medical malpractice. The same in Ireland, the police are stopping people from traveling, which is unlawful. And a police doing unlawful behavior is actually committing about three crimes, and you can hold them to account. You don't have to go to court. You just write to them notice of liability. They're not protected. The prime minister is not sequencing and buying, procuring, you know, all of these tests without checking what they are engaged in financial fraud, in procurement fraud, in misrepresentation. as well as they know it's causing more harm than good. So that's misfeasance, malfeasance in public office. They can be held personally to account. Individual people affected, losing their business can write. You don't need to go to court. You can do it directly to them. And I would be in this accountability phase, happy to have industries for people to actually sue, you know, individual doctors and politicians and businesses. Now, I can't do it all on my own, but I would be, anyone can do this around the world. And obviously you can say, well, they don't have enough money to fund this, but they certainly have enough money to waste billions on these tests that are causing more harm than good and the vaccines. The main thing is that if, and also I would be saying as well, that people need to video the police and the people, you know, saying requiring to wear masks or, you know, damaging the elderly or coercing people, that as of that day, that's actually professional gross misconduct. And all the civil servants and the politicians and the prime ministers and the people on the Science Council, that actually they don't deserve their pensions if you're engaged in gross misconduct or criminal behavior.
I agree with that. Oh, well, let me ask you. I've been trying to get a dermatologist appointment. I live in a state that's really following these rules. I ended up getting an appointment in the adjacent state. I'm just going to another state to go get my look at a doctor. I've been calling doctors and they won't see me unless I wear a mask. They said, because it's not safe for patients. I said, yeah, but I have a medical condition and I can't. And they won't see me. Now, is that, they say I'm not safe for the patients. What do you think about that when doctors refuse to see people who have medical conditions because they won't wear a mask?
So what you just say to
them? I'm appalled that there are so many doctors that are this. See, now that's where I get frustrated. I'm like, they're a doctor and they don't know the basics of the mask issue, and they're that. See, this is where I say that they're dumb. You say that they've been manipulated and you give them love. I don't know if I can go there, but they are there. There's that many doctors that won't see a person and give you that. They don't even have a way around it or anything.
So the way to change all that is to actually ask them to put it in writing. Yeah. And then you go to their regulatory body, and all we need is like one or two people in different countries to do it, so that it is unethical. Right. And they can be struck off if they deny medical treatment by coercing people to infringe their inalienable rights of bodily integrity. Right. It's against their code as doctors. They cannot deny medical treatment.
So I think one of the things, Sarah, is that, you know, we have to hold doctors to account. So if, for example, someone is treated for cardiovascular disease or dies of a stroke, and then the doctor puts down COVID-19, and so the doctor can't win because they didn't treat them for influenza or COVID-19, and they did treat them for something. So what we need around the world is a small number of doctors to be held to account that is criminal behavior. It's a striking off offense. It exposes them to a claim of medical negligence. And we have to make it more uncomfortable for all of the professions and everyone and the police and the courts to stop doing things that are criminal and unlawful behavior. And then you'll actually see the switch, so that then it becomes more uncomfortable and the doctors will say, well, so what we kind of need is a turning point, maybe February or March 2021, and then a walkaway movement to say to all of these teachers, you know, forcing masks, shop owners, carers, doctors, politicians, the media and the police to walk away from this unlawful, unethical and criminal behavior and to get back on the right track.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think so they feel just as much pressure from the other direction to the point where they realize doing the right thing is what they should be doing, and getting that confidence to do the right thing. Because right now they're doing the bidding. It keeps cutting you off. I don't know how much we got, but hopefully we got the whole thing. I was just going to say that I think your solution is great with the doctors, giving them and the other professions, because they're supporting, like the guards in Nazi Germany, you know, just because you're following orders, giving them the pressure from the other direction so that they'll do the right thing, I think is so important. But how can people get hold of you? I mean, we're having so many network problems, and you said the wrong thing, and we had to switch to a different network, and we're still having network problems. I would like you to stick around for my members. I have a lot of questions. Hopefully that won't be so bad. I don't know. But how can people...
So often it is, Sarah, that when I start talking about things, the internet goes. So I have very good internet all day. And then when I do an interview, it just goes. And then it'll be fine when the interview is over.
Well, we had a perfect, we had really good connection until we started talking about a specific thing. And then all of a sudden it froze, and now we're having all these problems. I'm like, we had a good connection. I've had internet problems, and I really have been working hard to fix it. And I'm like, I know we, you know, I've fixed it for the last few weeks. And so it's frustrating. But anyways, where is the best place that people can reach you and learn more? You are a wealth of knowledge. And I'm just, one thing before, tell us where they can reach you. But you wanted to bring up one of the solutions with spirituality. I want you to talk about that before you leave. So tell us where they can reach you. And then if you can end it on a really positive note about how one of the solutions or the solution to solving this.
Yeah, so people can find me. So I was never on social media before. 2019 was, say, when I started with the Freedom Party around freedom of speech and people to stand for election. So I stood for election in 2019. So you can find me on DoloresCahill.com, and you can also register there, and that will go to an email, which my email is DoloresCahill.com. And I'm on Facebook, IFP Dolores Cahill, if people want to join me there. And then there's FreedomAirway.com. But probably most important, if people want to engage with like-minded people across the world, is to come and join us and become a member in worldfreedomalliance.org. And also, I'm very honored to be president of that, and also president of worlddoctorsalliance.com as well. So they're the various places. And, you know, if people, on a positive note, want to just engage to become members or to just support, you know, the World Doctors Alliance or the World Freedom Alliance, it actually allows people to move out of the fearful state around COVID-19 and actually, you know, engage in their communities, in their countries, or in international organizations to try and be the solution to the problem.
Absolutely excellent. And I want you to talk about spirituality a little bit, because I think I know where you were going with that. And I think it's such an important message and so helpful for people to hear it.
Yeah, because even, you know, I suppose what we're all trying to do is to say maybe one in three people or one in five people like us would be asking questions and would either never have worn a mask or will never, you know, be forced into taking a medical intervention. And then the question is, how do we discuss with people who are maybe of a different opinion? And while, you know, we need to learn to communicate, ask questions, humor, you know, there's different ways of actually breaking down the barriers. The other thing to do is, of course, I've been saying for months as well, is maybe don't talk about the issues that divide you in a family or with your friends. Maybe be generous and invite people over for dinner, or just, you know, bring something nice to your neighbors, or engage and volunteer again, you know, but maybe don't discuss issues around COVID-19 or specifically the mask that might actually divide you, but try and find something or shared hobbies. Or join a choir, even if it's online, you know, or just, you know, do something nice for someone, and or maybe write a note to a family member, and, you know, just be generous and open heart. But I think partly the thing of the solution, though, to our societies is in a way trying to educate people or just guide them, that for them to not be paralyzed in fear, it means they actually have to maybe look inwardly to just grow in calmness in their lives. And really how you just kind of can do that as a journey, an inward journey, is just either be still, you know, and just sit for half an hour and contemplate, or other people might, you know, find it easier to meditate or to pray. And even though that might sound a very unusual aspect of this, that if people can just be still, they'll actually find that within themselves, they can, you know, gain in confidence in the fact that within the human spirit or the human consciousness, that you can actually overcome a lot of the fears and distress that you have, if you just go on an inward journey and trust in yourself. And if you go on that journey of just been peaceful and calm and meditating, you'll actually find that a lot of the fears that you have go away, and that you will actually learn to maybe love yourself, and then to have, you know, your heart may then be able to have a greater capacity to reach out and even talk to people, or just not give off, you know, an angry persona, and you can try and forgive people and maybe be kind and smile at them and try and embrace that we as people have more in common. And if each of us were to actually use the time in the lockdown to go on this kind of inward journey of inner peace, we'll actually be connected more to ourselves. And the challenge, I guess, in life is to try and love yourself first, and also maybe to realize that whatever the power in the world, or whatever you perceive as God, is probably in each one of us. It's not somewhere outside. And if we kind of grow in this inner peace, we can then actually have this open-heartedness, love towards other people, and that you will lose the fear if you go on that journey. And the very minute that you stop worrying, which is really a waste of energy, and you stop being fearful, you then become empowered. And then no matter what anyone tries to force you to do, you actually get the courage to say no, and you stand in love rather than fear. And then you are not easily manipulated. And the beauty for that for each of us as well is that if each of us grows, we can not only have courage for ourselves, but we can also then be more open-hearted and generous and protect our families, protect people who live in our villages, in our streets, and in our communities. And that then we can actually plan a journey to work and volunteer together to bring back our world for the way it always has been, and to you know, come together in networks like the World Freedom Alliance, or stand for as an independent, or try to volunteer, or just have a choir in your local community, or plant a flower. And just those simple little things of trying to you know, have some inner peace, try and find love in your heart, and then reach out to others. That's actually going to be the real solution to the problem. So I have great hope that maybe people in the lockdown might use this time to just spend half an hour a day to reflect on these aspects. And that's really the love that we find in ourselves and give to others and go on an inward journey is actually, I would say, the most important way of solving what's going on now.
Wow, that was excellent. I didn't want to bug you at all. Thank you so much for that. Really appreciate you coming to the program, and please stick around for my members.
Lovely. Thank you so much for having me on, Sarah. It was an absolute pleasure. Take care.